Moncrief on News Talk.
I mentioned just a moment ago about this thorny idea of breaking up or calling off an engagement. What is the best way to get through it? How do you manage to recover after such a big breakup? Frances Kelleher is a dating and relationship coach, and she joins us to offer her advice and expertise where it comes to navigating a romantic split. Frances, how are you today?
How are you, Tom? Thanks so much for having me.
I'd say, to be honest, that would put the absolute fear of God into people, the idea of being in that situation, because it's such a big thing and you're sucked into something that so many other people are involved in.
It is. And look, we can't dress it up. You know, it's a very traumatic experience for everybody involved, even the extended families. You know, I have known people that have had to do this. And I have known people who are at the other end of it, and it's very traumatic for everybody. But really, Tom, you know, there's no easy way about it. You just have to bite the bullet, you know, pull the trigger and be honest. And the less time wasted for everybody, the better, so that people can move on and, you know, find a new partner and carve out a new life.
A very hard thing, though, to find the strength to do that, isn't it? Because once people name the date, it takes on a certain momentum, doesn't it? And other people become involved. You almost become a passenger, really, in the middle of all this.
Very good point. And it's a great description. You do become a passenger. And, you know, again, because of that, you feel the ruptures that happen after the event has happened. You're feeling the high emotion, the hurt. You know, you're involved with people you love. It could be your sister, it could be your brother. So it really does affect everybody. But what I would say is the best way to deal with it is, number one, just bite the bullet, be honest, don't waste any more time. There's no easy way of doing it. It's much better that you do it now than you get married, you're going into something you know your heart isn't in. Or, you know, if you're the person that has been let down, that, you know, you're marrying someone that isn't all in. And then maybe even in 5 or 10 years, be getting a divorce and starting all over again. So that's worse. So, you know, the first thing is to reframe it, reframe the situation, see the best thing in it. I mean, I knew a girl and her wedding was called off. She was the one who was let down, and the guy just said, you know, I'm not feeling this 100%. I can't go through with it. And her friends went on the honeymoon with her. They said, look, let's get together and try and make this a good thing. Now, I know everybody can't do that. I know another woman who it was called off a few weeks before, and the family had the cake for dessert. The mother said, let's make the best of it. There's a lot of financial stress and a lot of financial you know, things being paid out here, we'll have the cake and we'll make the best of it and we'll, you know, waste not, want not. You have to try and reframe things. And I often tell the story about Julia Roberts. I don't know whether you remember this, Tom. In the 90s, she was engaged to Kiefer Sutherland and something overnight happened. None of us know for sure. There was rumours that he had cheated with somebody and that she had found out. And she fled to Ireland and she arrived at the airport in Dublin and she was picked up by an ordinary taxi man and he said, you know, what's wrong, you're so upset. And she said, you know, I'm very famous, I've nowhere to hide, you know who I am. And he said, come back to my house for a week. And she stayed, this is a true story, I swear to God, she stayed in his house for a week. Nobody knew she was there and he gave her away at her wedding to Danny Moser that she's married to now for 22 years.
My God.
So, you know, bad stuff happens to everybody, but you can get out of it. You can get out of it like Julia.
That sounds like the plot to Notting Hill now.
It does. She's still in touch with him now. She has come back to Ireland and visited him because she was so grateful, you know, for his kindness. Of course, us Irish are known for our kindness to her in her time of need.
The thing there that strikes me, it's his decency, isn't it? And I think is a message that you'd be telling people that maybe your friends and your family and their reactions might also surprise you a bit too.
Yes, and that is another great point. You know, sometimes we go along with people, you know, because they pick the person, obviously they're marrying them. It's really none of our business. You know, we want what's best for the person, but we mightn't think that they're suitable at all. And, you know, sometimes I have even had clients come to me and they say, I was engaged and I got let down, he let me down, or, you know, she let me down, but it was a relief. I actually knew deep, deep within me that we weren't right for each other, but I didn't have the guts to do it, and that person did, my ex-partner did. So you have to reframe it and think there is a bigger picture. What's for you doesn't go by you. If somebody isn't all in, there is no point. I mean, we all know, you know, you have to work at love. It's like a flower. If you don't water it, it dies. And everything is rosy at the beginning, but it can be very tough with a mortgage, throwing a mortgage and a couple of kids, and you have to work at it like you have to work at anything else. You know, it's not automatic. The honeymoon period doesn't last forever. So you need someone who's on that train with you 110%. You need that.
Is it not normal, though, to have a few doubts anyway? And when you're sitting down, especially when it's kind of taking on this life of its own around you, and you're looking at this one other person that you're going to be with forever, and there's this vision of your life, and it's going to involve a house, and it's going to involve kids, hopefully, and everything else that goes with it. Is it not normal to be just sitting there and thinking, oh, I'm not 100% sure, because, God, you're... It's such a complex thing, relationship. It's never like, it's never going to be like Hollywood or Walt Disney. There's always realities in relationships.
So true. And what I would say there is, look, none of us have the, you know, Willy Wonka ticket, the golden ticket that is just the answer to everything. You know, I have people that come and they, you know, even have an emotional block, a fear of commitment. If their parents have got divorced, or they grew up in a house, you know, maybe with a lot of conflict, and they didn't know how to deal with conflict. And they say, I'm afraid to take that jump. And they know where it's coming from. They say, look, I get it. I just cannot get over the block. I'm too afraid. But what I say is, no, we're all just on the boat doing the best we can. Nobody knows the future. I would say the three things you need for a lasting relationship, these are the ingredients. If you have these, you're doing as best you can as anybody else, and it's still a gamble. Number one is, they're your friend, they're your best friend, they have your back, they want the best for you. Number two, you have to have chemistry, you have to have that spark. And number three, shared values. And you know, a lot of the time, Tom, you have two. You know, it's, oh my God, you know, that person's gorgeous, or that person's such fun and he's gorgeous and he's very good to me, but you know, he wants to be, you know, on the town every night getting drunk, and I want 10 kids at home, I'm a homebody. It's the shared values a lot of the time that is, you know, the deciding factor. And you need all three. But if you have those three, you know, everybody's only doing their best. Life is for living. You've got to take risks. We only get one chance. You know, we are here to love and be loved. That's what we're here for.
Right. Taking risks. There's no getting around that. It's funny. I have at times in the past done items on arranged marriages. And I've talked to people who were in very happy arranged marriages, which when you think about it, God, there's so much to that, that parents and people around them had put them together and they'd worked out. So, God, it's, you know, it's, I don't know what to say. Were you looking at, there was another celebrity in the Sydney Sweeney. Were you following any of that at all in the news?
No, not recently.
Right, she has just put a halt to her wedding plans with Jonathan Davino, and she's now, I think she's 27 now, and she says she wants to concentrate on her career. The age gap there was 14 years, and they were together 7 or 8 years. Would those sort of things kind of, are they red flags, age gaps like that?
No, I wouldn't say so. It's about the soul connection. It's about those three things, the friendship, chemistry, shared values, and the soul connection. I mean, we've seen, I know Brent and Angelina have gone their separate ways, but there was like a 12 age gap there. And the other actor, Hugh Jackman, they were married for 30 years. There's a 12 age, gap there as well. So it's just about the common values. You know, do you want the same things? Are they your friend? Are they a nice person? And is there a soul connection? It really, it has nothing to do with the externals bar that. But really, research shows we go for people that are like us in background, in, you know, financial status. We like people that are like us. So, you know, the research does show that like attracts like. But no, it has nothing to do with an age gap or anything like that.
Would you be worried too about long engagements? Because I was reading an article in The Independent, and there was a woman there had been 15 years, I think, with her fiancé. They were together since they were 18 or something like that. But then when it got to push coming to shove, when it went to let's get married, that's when they said, do you know what, this isn't right. Would that be a bit of a red flag? You're that long together and you haven't committed?
I think, to be honest, it can be. In some situations, it can be. In others, not. It does depend on the situation. Like some people, they're not financially ready. They want to have a nice wedding and they're saving. Or, you know, they've just bought a house and, you know, the mortgage is draining the savings a bit more than they like, so they have to wait a bit longer. Or people are just, you know, not in the right time in their life. Somebody could be starting a master's or something like that in college and they want to finish that. So there's other life goals that could get in the way. But definitely sometimes it is. And I have known of two women that are engaged now for 20 years. They have the ring on the finger. There was a big engagement party, big engagement announcement, and they're still not married. So it's not, you know, the piece of paper for marriage. You know, you do have to follow through if you want to get married, obviously, and you know, sit down and have a conversation. Say, look, we're having a conversation about this. Are we getting married? Do you still want to get married? What's going on here? Because people can change their mind when time runs on and things can change.
Right.
So it does depend on the individual situation.
Okay. Should you be in a situation where you're maybe putting a time limit on and saying, like, we're not going to be engaged forever, that this either moves forward or it stops?
I would say that definitely, you know, you have to put a boundary around your own time, especially women. We have to be honest. Women, time is a friend to no one, but time is definitely not a friend more so to women. You know, we have less time, biological, clockwise and all that, if women want to have children. So I think definitely it is your responsibility to look after your own time, be assertive and have boundaries on that. I knew a girl that said to her partner, they were together 2 years, and this is the way she put it. You don't have to put it this bluntly, but she said, you know, we're dating 2 years, I don't date forever. Where is this going?
Right.
And that was it. You know, men are succinct. Men don't like a big, long, emotional conversation. So she got it out that way. And they're married. They got married within a year, so it worked.
I'm with her. I think you need to... It's not going to last for, and exactly what you're saying, you know, in terms of fertility, if you want to have children, it's a window there, and it can't be just, sometimes men can be too laid back. But for anyone listening to this, who might have the fear in their heart, who might be in the middle of this, and there are so many different emotions at play that you'd be fearful of how your family are going to react. You'll be afraid of being embarrassed in front of people. What do you say to them?
And that is so true, and it's huge, and people, you know, really do care what people think. And I think, you know, in Ireland, we're a very close-knit community and a lot of people know each other. So it's more pressure for us that way. We're a small country. But you have to live your own life and you have to forget what people think. And it's your life. You only get one chance. Take your shot. You only get one shot. And, you know, people, it's so funny because we care a lot about what people think. But really, people are thinking about their own stuff and their own problems. And we think, you know, they're more immersed in our problems and talking about us and all that. But really, that's not the reality. People are more concerned about their own lives. So live your own life to the fullest the way you want to. It's your right. You only get one life and it's yours to live.
Great. So, Frances, thank you very much for that. Great advice today. Frances Callagher, dating and relationship coach.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.